If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Time to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. And the comment line is 618-223-8382. We encourage our listeners to email us with show suggestions, questions, want a clarification. If you disagree or you want to offer some constructive criticism, that's why we have the email and the comment line.
Let's begin with Jeff in Philadelphia. He said, I appreciate your interview with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Pastor Fisk made the connection between viewing the word is as meaning represents or something similar to making a similar error as the transgender movement. This caught my interest because I've come to the conclusion that Lutherans and those who hold similar views make an extremely similar error to the transgender movement. I believe Lutherans do the same thing with the word body. You're forced to argue for a physical human body that has no physical attributes. The Lutheran view empties the word body of any objective meaning, just like the transgender movement empties man and woman of any objective meaning. I feel bad telling you that you believe in something incoherent, but I have to call it as I see it. I don't really believe there is anything in the Lutheran position to argue against, because at the end of the day, it is found to be incoherent when you pull on this thread. Thanks for listening and thanks for the feedback, Jeff.
Well, Jeff, I think you need to look a little more deeply into the Lutheran view on this. Lutherans do not argue for a non-physical body. We don't. We believe that the body is bodily present there, as all other bodies are. It cannot be perceived. It must be believed. I don't think Calvinists have any problem with believing things that they can't see. It cannot be perceived, but we do not argue in any sense that Christ's body is only spiritually present or that it isn't physically present. We argue that it is bodily present, that it's physically present. That's the whole point of the Lutheran view. We have that phrase called the real presence. So we believe the body is actually bodily present. It cannot be perceived, or I should say it is only perceived by faith in Christ's words, which say unequivocally, without any reservation, without any qualification, with no parentheses, no asterisks, this is my body. So if Jesus says that this is his body, it is, and it's his body in every sense that human bodies are human bodies. It has every attribute of a body, but it cannot be perceived except by faith in his words. That's our position. We believe in the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament. So if you look a little deeper into Lutheran teaching here, you'll find that you've mischaracterized what we teach, because we do not teach that there is a body there with no physical attributes. The physical attributes are there. We just can't perceive them. Reason, something near and dear to the Calvinist heart, does not grasp this. Only faith in Christ's words.
Gary asks a really good question. I've been listening to some of the programs from May of 2019 and noticed that the dates shown next to the header of the podcast, date, month, year, don't match with the date listed behind the guest's name. For instance, podcast May 17, 2019, show number 1401, Christian Marriage, Dr. Scott Murray, May 20th, 19. Podcast May 17, 2019, numbered 1472, titled The 2017 Making the Case Speakers Q&A, dated 5/27/19.
Well, okay, those are vacation shows, aren't they? I know at least the second one was a vacation show. When we are on vacation, and believe me, when it comes to Craig goes and does vacation. He goes to Disney World and hoops it up on foreign lands and hulas down in Hawaii and all those kinds. Jeff and I, vacation means we stay at home and do yard work and do things that our wives ask us to do. But when we're off work, we post either encores or newly produced programs. And when they're posted, the date, the first date you see there is the date that I posted them. But then the place where they fit in our calendar, our broadcast calendar, is the second date that you see there. So we don't confuse our listeners. So it all that audio probably got posted on the 17th of May, 2019, but it was meant for the days corresponding to that second date there. So Wilkin just posted all the audio at one time, which that's the easiest thing to do is when we're going on vacation, we just pre-post all that audio.
Why does WordPress, they are the, what would you call, designer of or the template for our website,
the
platform for our website. Why would they want to show you what the day something was actually posted? And is there a way for us to take that out?
I don't know. There probably is. That's a question that I'd have to either research or I have to push above my pay grade. There probably is. But remember, WordPress is originally designed for posting blogs. So the day is a little more relevant. You know, when you posted the blog, especially if you're dealing with our website is nothing more than a WordPress blog dummied up to look like a website. And you'd be surprised how many websites are just WordPress blogs dummied up to look like websites. It's just a very easy way for the average person who doesn't have a degree in, what do they call it now? The internet or whatever, to create a website.
This email just came from Ben in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. Hey, Issues Etc. team. Do you know we're a team? We're a team.
I feel like a team.
Some days I do. Some days I don't. Depends how the Cardinals are doing. That's the St. Louis Cardinals. Hey, Issues Etc. team. Just a mild criticism of your local ad for the cleaning authority that's been playing recently. There's a line that goes something like, forget the flowers and candy, get a certificate for the cleaning authority, etc. I'm not married. I don't even have a girlfriend yet, but I wonder if the ad could be modified to say, along with your flowers, etc. I don't want to speak for women, but it seems to me that they wouldn't want the sweet-smelling and sweet-tasting things for Valentine's wholly replaced by something that is to be sure useful, but perhaps less romantic. Thanks for all you do. Really enjoy the variety of topics you cover. Thanks for listening in Wisconsin, Ben.
Now, that's a listener. They pay attention to the copy of the ads. Jeff probably wrote that.
I did write
copy.
That per the client's suggestion. I can say this. The longer I'm married, flowers. If my wife had to choose between getting her house clean and flowers, she'd choose the former. Maybe earlier in our marriage. I mean, of course, women would like
you
both.
Bring the flowers home. It just gives her something else to clean up eventually. So
this is most certainly true.
This is obviously a male conversation. I'm still... It's basking in the glow of an interview that we just recorded earlier today with Anthony Esselin on Boys and Men. And it kind of changes your perspective a little bit on these things.
Boy, he is not politically correct.
No, you can see why. Where was he? At Providence College, is that correct?
Yes.
Why just saying 1/10 of the things he said on the air in that interview would have gotten him fired.
Yes, and that'll run on a vacation day. On Monday, President's Day, the 17th of February, which WordPress will probably say it was posted on February 15th, but ignore that. Just look for the numbering.
It all depends on when Wilkin gets around to posting it.
John listens in New York. He has a great question. Some LCMS churches have female lay readers. While female lay readers aren't preaching a sermon, I am not in favor of female lay readers because I consider that to be exercising authority over men. Do you agree? Or disagree. Wow, you just threw a hanging curveball to Pastor Wilkin there, John. Thanks for listening in New York.
I agree, but I agree for a different reason. I agree that ordinarily we should not have lay readers, period. And I'm saying ordinarily, there are exigent circumstances that may require such a thing to occur. Ordinarily, the task of the public reading of Scripture is given to the pastor. And this is where Paul tells Timothy, until I come, attend to the public reading of Scripture. He specifically names it as one of his pastoral duties and that it was given to him to do. Can other Christians read the Bible? Of course they can. But the public reading of Scripture in the divine service is specifically given to the pastor to do. There are exceptions. So it's not just an issue of whether or not a lay woman can read the Scriptures. I would say it's an issue of whether a lay person should be reading the Scriptures ordinarily during the divine service. This view of mine, thoroughly grounded in apostolic admonition, is not popular, and most people ignore it. But if you look back into the history of the church, you will find that the reason that they didn't have lay readers of Scripture, they did have ranks of clergy that were not full priests reading Scripture, but they were specifically consecrated for the reading of Scripture. We're talking about deacons here. But the church has said part and parcel of the pastoral duties, especially during the divine service, is the public reading of Holy Scripture. But you can go to many, many Lutheran churches in many, many places, and you will find that they have the ladies getting up and reading the Scripture. Does it somehow render the Scriptures invalid? No, not at all. But it is, they obviously either do not know or do not care what the Bible says about the public reading Scripture. And, I mean, that opens a whole can of worms. Should we have the youth group get up there and read the Scriptures, or the children read the Scriptures during the Christmas program or something like that? Again, there are exceptions, but they must be exercised very carefully and prudentially. The Bible isn't going to catch on fire if somebody other than the pastor reads it. But that still does not change the fact that this is a task that's been given specifically to the pastoral ministry. I think the bigger question for me on this is, Jeff said hanging curveball, the bigger question for me is why?
Exactly. If I were a pastor and a lay person asked to read Holy Scripture, the first question should be, why? Why do you want to
engage in the public reading of Scripture during the divine service? And the answer might surprise you. And of course, if that layperson is a woman, so I really want to be one of the readers of Scripture, you need to ask why. And things like, well, it mixes it up. It's a little more variety. We get to hear from the people. But the whole point of Scripture reading is we're not hearing from you. That's the whole point of reading. It's God's word, not your word. And when we say, well, it would be nice to see, to have someone else represented up there, the women represented up there, that completely misses the point of the public of reading of Scripture. The public reading of Scripture is so that God is represented up there, not just represented, that he is speaking up there. And if that task is given to the pastoral office, then we leave it with the pastoral office. It's not rocket science. Jeff must have been ready for me to really unwind on that, because he just walked out of the room. Oh, it's time to take a break. We're going through listener email and the issues, etc. comment line on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 12th. Go ask your pastor, why? Why are we doing this? He'll either say, I don't know, we've always done it this way, or he's going to come up with some answer like, we just need the ladies represented during the service. Just say, I'd rather see God represented, his word spoken. Stay tuned. Yeah, I say.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Ad Crucem has crafted a series of posters to put what we believe, teach, and confess on display. See our Luther's Daily Prayers, the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, Liturgical Calendar, John 1 in Latin, and coming soon, the Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the Spirit's work, guide it into all truth. A little while, ask in my name, and the beginning of Jesus' prayer of consecration. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary. I prefer St. Paul, who says faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And that's what the February issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, hearing and believing. It includes articles about hearing with your eyes, singing the gospel, listening to the word of God in sermons, and proclaiming the gospel in foreign lands. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer. I hope it does.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, Wesley Smith will join us to talk about what's become of medical ethics.
4 months from today, my friend.
The Issues Etc. conference will be in Chicago. God willing, we will be there with 500 of our Issues Etc. listeners, and an excellent lineup. Probably, I think, impossible to top.
We say
lineup.
We say that every year.
Yeah, but we always manage to top it. This time, I think we got no place to go but down. So we're going to have Albert Moeller and Dr. Robert George and Mark and Molly Hemingway and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and Pastor Will Whedon. And who am I leaving out?
Oh, Pastor Hans Feeney.
Pastor Hans Feeney.
And you.
And well, I'll be there too, but I'm not going to be making any presentations. They'll be all
You'll
presenting.
Be preaching?
Yes, yes. And I'll be emceeing such as it is. So we're going to be there gathering at Concordia University Chicago for a day and a half with our listeners for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. And this has never happened before, but we always are at this point, like 4 months out, looking at, will we make 500? Well, we're more than 60% full as of 4 months from today. That's never happened before, which means the conference is going to fill up prior to the cutoff date for registrations. It's going to happen. And the early bird registration is also coming up. What is it? April 1st early bird registration. The price goes from $135, including three meals, up to $150. So you want to register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. You can do it online, issuesetc.org. I think there's a way to do it there. Or you can just give Lynn a call. She's not in today. Where is Lynn today?
Bad weather.
Oh, that's right. She stays home when the ice comes out. So you can call Lynn. Don't call her at home. Don't do that. And call her here when she's here, 618-223-8385. She'll answer the phone and she'll walk you through the registration process if you need some help.
Lindsay, Richmond, Virginia. Dear Pastor Wilkin, my children are going to start school soon. There are no Lutheran Church Missouri Synod schools near me, and I am unable to homeschool them. Given the pointed exclusion, or rather active antagonism towards biblical teachings, I am wary of putting my children at the mercy of public schools. What is my next best option? Secular private school, Catholic school, and are there any ways to petition or encourage the establishment of an LCMS school near me? This is not a small city, concludes Lindsay in Richmond, Virginia.
I'm kind of surprised that there isn't a Lutheran school someplace in the vicinity. So before you take any other steps, make sure that you really check out whether or not you've got a solid confessional Lutheran school someplace within driving distance. Even if the driving distance might be a little bit inconvenient, make sure that you really have no other options. Then I would say you're not necessarily looking at public school being the death of your children's faith, but you would have to be very careful about what's being taught to them, especially at the very young ages. You want to see curricula. You want to be able to go to school board meetings and have your concerns made known. There are other private school options. I would say if I were in your shoes, I would be looking at a Catholic private school, not because they're going to be taught everything that they ought to be taught theologically, but because at least in the sense of Christian morality, they will probably be taught, I can't say for sure, but they'll probably be taught the Ten Commandments and natural law and those things. There are Presbyterian schools. A lot of them actually nowadays are classical Presbyterian schools. And while I would be wary there, just like the Catholic school, the theology that's taught there, I think in terms of the having your children's faith undermined in the sense of them being taught essentially doctrines of demons when it comes to human sexuality, you're not going to find it in those kind of places. So I would start looking around that way. There are private schools that are kind of entirely secular, but I suspect you're probably going to get pretty much what you would get at a public school in those institutions.
It just hit me that something to consider is Wittenberg Academy, which is a completely online Lutheran school.
And it's a classical school that's online for your kids. So if you're not up to say, I can't homeschool my kids, and you might also talk to somebody about what homeschooling really entails. Wittenberg Academy, check that out. It's, what is it?
Wittenbergacademy.org.
That's pretty easy.
And another thing I was thinking, since she's in Virginia, I'll forward your email to Pastor Christopher Eskett at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Alexandria, Virginia.
How far is Alexandria from Richmond?
It's probably pretty far, but he's fifth vice president of the LCMS, particularly in that region, and see if he has any advice for Lindsay.
Now, to your issue of whether you could encourage local congregations to start a school, and that's usually going to have to happen through what would be called an association. They would gather together to do this. That's a pretty big undertaking. Most congregations, and I imagine especially on the East Coast, are going to say that's too big of an undertaking. But it's worth asking, at least. All they can do is tell you no.
Telef listens in Norway. Not sure if that's a he or she.
But it is one or the other. So,
because
there are only those
true.
Two things to choose from.
Oh, you listen to Anthony Esslin on Friday, the 17th of February. That'll come through loud and clear. Telef in Norway. Telef writes, thank you for a great podcast. Today, tuned in to listen to Pastor Wolfmiller talking about Colossians. In the intro to the show, someone quoted, God is talking to everyone, not in a still small voice, etc., but in the scriptures. My question, who said it and what was said exactly? Thanks for listening in Norway, Telef.
That was Pastor Chris Rosebro on the most recent feature, This Week in Pop Christianity, and we were talking about Katie Souza, and Chris was in rare form. That was the last answer that he gave in the interview, if you want to hear the entire answer, or you can wait until next Friday, and it will probably be among one of the candidates for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, because I flagged it when I heard his answer. So that was Pastor Chris Rosebro, Fighting for the Faith, and Jeff just pulled up a little snippet of it for our open.
Yeah, Friday, February 7th, if you were looking for the date for that broadcast. David, in extreme southern Missouri, didn't know such a thing existed.
There is the Boot Hill, isn't there?
Yes. I guess there's southern and there's extreme southern. He writes, Dear Pastor Wilkin, this is a question about the sacrament of the altar. I ask it because of an experience my wife and I had while visiting a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. Among the unfortunate practices at this church's contemporary worship service, I was shocked, not that the words of institution were sung, not chanted, but that they were paraphrased. It never entered my mind that anyone would do such a thing. Is it still the same thing? And does it do the same thing when Jesus' words are paraphrased? It really bothered me. Thanks for listening.
How do you paraphrase, this is my body? I mean, how do you make it more? A paraphrase is ordinarily kind of taking out the extra verbiage or simplifying the language down to something a little more basic to be understood. How do you paraphrase, this is my body? How do you paraphrase, this cup is the blood of the New Testament? These are simple. This is my body is a three-word sentence. Okay, my answer is going to come straight from the catechism. And this is why no pastor should be permitted by his congregation to tamper, even by way of paraphrase, with Christ's words of institution in the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, do this. He didn't say, do something like this. He didn't say, just get the gist of it. He said, do this. The church has always taken this very seriously. And I have as my example none other than the Apostle Paul, who says, the things that I received from the Lord, I passed on to you, namely that on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And he exactly quotes Christ there. As my mom used to say, I'm a little gobsmacked that there is a pastor out there who would have the temerity to paraphrase words that, number one, need no paraphrase, and number one, we have been commanded by Christ himself, the very God of the universe, to say as he spoke them, to speak his words and not to tamper with them in any way. No, the pastor should not be doing that. the question that may be lingering in your head is, well, if he paraphrased it, if there was a lot of para and very little phrase, in other words, if he was just trying to get the gist of it, and he failed to actually speak Christ's words in any comprehensible way, or worse yet, if he does what many Christians who do not believe Christ's words and yet are forced to speak them, if he kind of said, "He's Jesus, this is my body," and then he goes on to explain away those words, I certainly hope that did not happen. He shouldn't be a Lutheran pastor anymore if he did that. That's one strike, you're out. In my opinion, that's only my opinion. At what point do deviation from Christ's words cease to make it a sacrament? My rule of thumb is just going to be, don't test it. Don't test it. That's kind of like saying, how far can I go with my girlfriend before I'm engaging in sexual immorality? Don't test it. If that's what you want to do, get married, for heaven's sakes. And if you're not old enough to get married, then wait. So we don't play fast and loose with the things that Christ has given us. This shows a kind of temerity, a kind of a lack of a fear of God when something like that happens. So run as fast as you can from that pastor.
Hi, this is Mike in Taiwan, and I am an LCMS, Office of International Mission, missionary here in Taiwan. I'd like to give just one example of how Issues Etc. supports foreign mission work. This coming Monday, I've been asked to give a presentation on the role of the Lutheran Confessions in the Lutheran Church for the annual meeting of the China Evangelical Lutheran Church, the partner synod of the LCMS here in Taiwan. I was looking for some more ideas about what to say, so I searched Issues Etc. archives for something to listen to while I went running. I found an old episode back in the days when you used to have pastors' roundtables, and the episode I found and then listened to with Pastors Henriksen and Eskett gave me some good ideas. Thanks so much for all you guys do in support of our Lord's mission overseas.
We are happy to help. That's exactly why we exist. We're here to equip both the laity and, in this case, the pastors of our church in every way that we can. You know, we can't go to Taiwan and do those things. That's why we're here as that artillery support for those on the front line, as we say in one of our liners, so that a pastor who says, I need to an idea, they can go to our archives and search around and find that idea and many other different things as well.
We need to highlight where to find that. You go to issuesetc.org, click Talk On Demand Archives. On the right-hand column, about the middle of the page, there'll be a rectangle that says, with an eyeglass, to search, type, and press enter. Put a topic, a guest name, and you should be able to find what you're looking for, just like this listener in Taiwan.
That's good. You said eyeglass. It's a, what is it called?
Magnifying glass.
That's what it's
called. Oh, don't go in glasses. You don't want to go there.
No, we're not going there.
We're off on Friday and Monday. And I know you got Maria's big play one last time this weekend, but there's Monday. You should be able to schedule an appointment.
Monday.
But don't wait till Monday.
I won't wait.
Because you're going to call Monday and they're all going to be all booked.
I'll call Friday.
There you go. No, you won't, because you're going to be all focused on the play. It'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow. Deaconess Lynn Frederickson, I know you're listening.
Okay, so Deaconess, this is what I want you to do. Look up this place. I can't remember what it's called. America's Best. Is that what I said? Look up this place down. It's down in Arnold or South County. I'm sorry for the geography for the non-St. Louis listeners. Email me the phone number and I'll make the appointment. Or maybe I'll just have Lynn make the appointment for me. just ask me before you set the time.
Chris resides in Phoenix, Arizona. He said, more Terry Mattingly would be okay. If I see Terry Mattingly in my podcast list, I'm guaranteed to download that segment. Perhaps I'm especially interested because I studied journalism in college and work in a media-related field. Like Pastor Wilkins said, Mr. Mattingly's segments always cause me to learn something or think critically about the journalism I consume. Whenever I read the news, particularly on those hot-button issues, I ask myself, what questions should the journalist ask? What presuppositions has the journalist slipped into the article? What doesn't the journalist understand about religious life? These questions have been thanks to the valuable insights that Terry Mattingly brings to Issues Etc. on how Christians should interact with the media. Thanks for the email, Chris in Phoenix.
And as I said, I think in responding to a previous email that was somewhat critical of Terry, best guest on the subject, he's the He is the expert on Christians interacting with the media. He has spent his entire career doing that. He is a fully trained and fully credentialed and fully experienced journalist himself. He's not just someone who says, I don't like what the media is doing. He actually is part of it himself, and he has taught this very subject at the level of both college and seminary. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Wesley Smith, the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, about two articles he recently found, one in the New England Journal of Medicine and other in the Journal of Medical Ethics, one of them advocating for the harvesting of organs from people who are about to die, and the other one advocating gender acceptance. We'll be right back. That it just wasn't real, but that's not the way it feels.
If there was a pill I could give you that would make you immortal, how much would you pay for it?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Without Flesh.
Because you see, that's exactly what we have. And it's priceless, but it's also free. So why is it that nobody's coming to our churches to get this immortality? I mean, we can say that it's all their fault, or maybe there's something about it that we've forgotten.
Learn more and purchase Without Flesh at issuesetc.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.